now. But what does it, what is the knowledge factor as far as what prayer is, right? It's, for us, it's simply what? Just talking to God, right? Listening and talking to God. It's a conversation. It's not that hard, right? But it's actually a language, right? Prayer is a language. We as believers are able to speak to God in a language that many people wouldn't understand because the words we use aren't normal words. Do you recognize that? Think about it. Next time you have a conversation with God, do you talk to God like he's a commoner? Or do you use certain spiritual words that you know God understands the meaning of those words, and when you're using those words, they're not words that anybody else is probably going to get or understand. They might think about it or know it from a worldly concept, but they're not going to understand it as much as we would, right? But there still is a shallow understanding of prayer, because in the basic sense of what prayer is, yes, we understand it as a conversation with God, but even in that conversation, we have a bit of an issue because we actually created a practice of prayer that turns God into something he's not. Lord, I really need some more money. It would be really nice if you would just bless me with that new job. God in a bottle. And God's going to answer that prayer. Why? Well, because God wouldn't want me to not have a job, right? He wants me to be responsible and take care of my family. But it would be nice if that job had six figures, right? We do this to God all the time. We tend to think God is at our beck and call to answer our desires and our wishes. And we actually can go in scripture and find support that says, yeah, that's what God said in his word even. I don't see anywhere where he's blessing me with six figures. It'd be nice, but it's not written. But what that happens is that we have this fundamentally bad understanding because we take the scriptures and we actually use scripture in a way that it actually gratifies our flesh. Even when it comes to the simplest of things, which is just having a conversation with God. And we can go, well, it says in your word that you'll do this, God. So I'm going to pray this. Do you understand? That's probably the safest thing, right? Pray the word of God, right? You give it back to God. God is not a liar, so he's got to honor his word, right? Well, here's the problem. Do you know the heart and motivation of what you just read back to God? Because he knows, because he wrote it. But did you know that you can misappropriate the heart and the motivation about what he wrote and to make it into something that benefits you instead of what he wants done? Now you understand the problem. We've developed a bad habit. Prayer is actually the most powerful weapon, right? We have a song, right? Prayer is a powerful weapon, right? It is one of the most powerful weapons that we have in our toolkit. And it's also the most basic of kingdom principles that we have in our toolkit. And yet we misuse it the most. We misappropriate it. So this is our hypocrisy. Our hypocrisy is we know what prayer is. We know what it's supposed to be. But we misappropriate it, and we use it selfishly for our own gains. Turn with me to Matthew 6. And you'll start at verse 5. And we'll go on, but we'll stop intermittently. Everybody there? Father, your word is truth, God. We rely on your word. To train us, to lead us, to guide us, to show us your heart, your character, what it is you're trying to do in our lives, God. We surrender our will. We want your will here in our lives, impacting, changing, and transforming us into your image of your son, God. So Father, let your word go and accomplish its good and perfect will. Let it find fertile soil in our hearts today, and let us respond with action in our lives. As we apply what you are showing us today. God, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. The hypocrisy of prayer in the open versus prayer in secret is not about location. You'd be like, well, wait a minute. He just simply pointed out two very specific locations in the Bible. What do you mean, Pastor? Why are they there? To be seen. That is correct. Right? Because it's not about them being in a specific location. They are putting themselves in a place or a location so that they will be seen. But it's not even about just being seen. The better term here is about recognition. Right? We get this a lot at works, right? When our jobs. We do a good job, we like to be recognized for the job that we've done. Okay? If you do your job very obviously, and you make it very obvious of how good of a job you did, you expect an obvious recognition in return. This is kind of the cornerstone of where we adapt this whole principle. So what Jesus is drawing attention to is actually not necessarily where they are at or the fact that they're in a public place, because you'd be like, well, wait a minute, are you going to tell me I can't pray in public? No, I'm not telling you not to pray in public. I'm not telling you where to pray. I'm not telling you how to pray. But there's something definitively wrong with the person who is praying in that location with the sole purpose of being recognized. Because you're doing it for what motivation? Not to be seen. Not to be heard. You're doing it because your will is what you are trying to have impacted, not God's will. Because it is now putting yourself in the position of, oh, look at me. Look at what I am doing. Think about this. If I go into a public place and I go, I'm praying over here, and miraculously somebody over here gets healed, you're not going to turn around and tell them about how God did that. You're going to be like, see what happened because I prayed. Excuse me? You did nothing. You were just right place, right time. God did that, not you. We are misappropriating prayer. What Jesus is addressing is not that they are praying in public. He is addressing their inward motivation. He is actually able to see the heart attitude of those people. Do we understand that Jesus actually can see into the heart? We're not shocked by that, right? So why then would this be any different? He's not using his physical eyes and assessing a situation with his physical eyes. He's assessing this with a spiritual eye. And he's looking at the inward heart motivation of these individuals, and he's addressing the heart attitude. And the heart attitude of that person is, I am doing this solely because I want people to know that I am the religious important person who is praying and doing the good things that God has called me to do. Look at me. Don't look at who? God. Look at the guy who's attached to God. Now, this is also very prevalent today, because you have a bunch of people like this guy right here who like to stand up here and make themselves be a whole lot more important than they really are. Guess who's not important in this house? Me. Not when compared to him. I'm nobody compared to God. I am a servant just like every single other person who serves in this church. Just like you and just like you. I'm no different. I'm no better. I have no higher ranking systems. Yeah, we might put that in order to have order in the house. But in line to God and his chain of command, guess who we all are? We're all sheep. We're all his children. We all rank the same. He is king. I am not. And so we have to stand in that position, right? They could be praying God's will. That might be true. They might be actually out there and they might be praying for God's will. I'm not questioning what they're praying. I'm not even bringing that into call. But they're doing it in a way that makes themselves seem important, as though it's because of them that God has moved. And that's what Jesus is showcasing in that one verse. And we see this today in the same way. People tend to believe because prayer that accomplished fill in the blank. Because I prayed, this happened. Well, your prayer to God may be in line with God's will, but it had very little to do with you and had everything to do with who? Let me ask you a follow-up question. Will God do it if you don't pray? If it's His will, He will do what He wants. He doesn't need you to commune with Him in order to make His hands move. God's hands will move when God's hands want to move. I don't tell Him what to do. Does anybody else here have the power to tell God what to do? No. Right? I can agree with God with what He wants to do, and in that agreement with God, guess what He does? He does miraculous things. And sometimes, guess who He uses? The guy who prayed. Why? Because you're in agreement with His will, so He's going to say, well, if you agree with my will, then you also agree with my way. So let's do it my way. We're going to do this together in Jesus' name. But the difference in the mentality is truly what Jesus is attacking. He is coming right at the heart of the problem, and He is addressing the issue, which is the motivation of one's mind and will to usurp God's will and God's plan. And you have then taken your place on His throne, and you've kicked Him off and making Him feel as though He has to answer your beck and call. He doesn't answer your beck and call, church. That's not what happens. Continuing on, just a little bit further. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. You have him really hitting hard at all of these different concepts of prayer. Praying secret, right? Don't be repetitive, repeating yourself over and over again. Why is he addressing that? Why is he calling the heathen out for repeating the same prayer over and over again? Why do you need to keep repeating yourself? Is God deaf? Did he not hear you the first time? Did anybody ever see the movie Bruce Almighty? Not the second one, the first one. You remember that scene where he's like trying to figure out how to deal with the prayer problem of all the people praying? Remember that scene? And he's got the post-its and like everything he thought of to try and figure it out, it just didn't work and it was always... Do you understand? That actually created in you a bad understanding of how God handles prayer? Truthfully. Because all that was based off of was requests. And God being the genie in the bottle, answering all of the requests that people make on a regular basis. As though God is waiting for you to talk to him so he can just meet your demands. Who's in control of that conversation? The world would have been in control of him. And you saw what it did to Bruce Almighty, right? He couldn't do anything else except for just answer prayer. Now granted, that was a man being God, and we understand that's not logical, nor will it ever be that way. But the concept created in you an understanding that God is sitting there waiting for all of his people to just pray, 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 making all these requests so he can just go, I just want to meet all the requests of the people. That's all I want to do. If that was God's intention and will, what would never get accomplished? His actual will, because the will of you and everybody else in here would override his will. God isn't submitted to our will. Thank God for that. Amen. Because I couldn't imagine what would be happening right now if, you know, only the people in the world were ruling and God had no control or authority in anything. Could you imagine? In order to actually understand what I am saying, and what this means, we first better should have a better understanding of what prayer means, right? Because we all agree, oh yes, it's just a conversation with God. That's a really simplified definition of it, don't you think? Wouldn't you like a better one? Where are we going? Webster's 1828 dictionary, you better believe it. Prayer. First words. In worship. First words. In worship. What does that mean to you guys? You are not in the position to make a demand because you're at the king's feet and you are worshiping the king. Prayer is not something that you get to control and make demands in. It is a process of humbling oneself before an almighty God and king. You are not having a common conversation with God. You're having a conversation with God from this position to the king. We have to change our thought process. That's the first two words of the definition. But it gets better, guys. A solemn address to the supreme being, consisting of adoration, or an expression of our sense of God's glorious perfections. Okay, I know you've had this prayer. I've had this prayer. How many people pray to God and just are just simply appreciating his magnificence, his splendor, his beauty? You're not coming with, I want, God, could you please, this person needs, blah, 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 blah. No. I'm literally just talking to God and appreciating his magnificence, his beauty, his splendor. That's prayer, right? Yeah? Okay. Confession of your sins. That is through prayer. Well, that is probably the most humbling of all the positions. Amen? Because you coming in with your junk before a holy creator, you are going to come groveling on your knees and asking for forgiveness. Amen? So, but does that not come through the vessel of prayer? Yeah. Right? You have to have a conversation with God to ask for forgiveness. I can't ask Rob for forgiveness if I never actually talked to Rob. It's kind of hard, right? Be difficult. Like, man, I hope he really forgave me. Did you talk to him? I didn't talk to him. Well, how do you know? I don't know. We're just going to live this way for the rest of my life. Sounds like a good plan. Says a lot of believers, even to this day. Right? Continuing. Supplication for mercy and forgiveness. Ooh. That's not the same thing as confession of sins. But that's really asking God for help. There it is, right? But not the kind of help that, oh, I need help with my bills. No, it's, I didn't pay my bills on time, God. I really need your help to guide me to be more disciplined. I need your mercy. I don't need you to fix the problem. I need you to fix me. Intercession. And this is the best one, church. Listen to the words. Please listen to the words. Intercession for blessings on others. Others, not me. Others. Man, that really sounds like God, doesn't it? Not about you, but about those whom you have contact with. Why? Because you already know me. But they don't. They need to know my love. They need to feel compassion. They need to feel my blessings. They should be sought after the way I seek after them. Why aren't you praying for them so that they can have those blessings and feel that love from me? Well, we don't do that very often, do we? You know why we don't do that? Because we're always interested in us. So we go to God interceding on behalf of ourselves for blessings that we need for our own situations, and I'll get to everybody else once I'm set. We have that airplane philosophy. I'm going to fix my face mask first. Then I'm going to worry about y'all. Because I can't fix your face mask if I can't breathe. Right? But that's not the way the kingdom works. The kingdom doesn't work like the world. Amen? This is a kingdom basic and yet so far removed from the practices of the people. And also, there's more, thanksgiving or an expression of gratitude to God for his mercies and his benefits. Here's the catch. That last part is actually where you get yours. But we come wrong. We don't come giving God thanksgiving and praise for what he's doing in our lives. We go to God with requests because he hasn't done enough. And my Bible says he is sufficient. He is sufficient. Say it again, church. He is sufficient. That means whatever the day you need, he is sufficient. You will have what you need for the day. And I understand that may seem really, really like you're scraping by from certain points. Yep, but did you have enough for the day? You sure did. And I can tell you, the prayer this way does something miraculous in the believer. Because you start to agree with God and the way he wants to commune with his people to the point where it isn't about me and what I'm doing. It's about nothing other than his will and what he wants done. And all I am is gracious and wonderfully amazed by how awesome he is and his purpose and his will. It is totally transformative when we allow our lives to align with his. And prayer is actually how you do it. And this is why I can tell you we're not doing it right. Another reason why I can tell you we're not doing it right. Because we love to pray like this. We just love to pray like that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. If you're not actually speaking it out loud, you're not hearing those motivations of your heart coming out. You know why we don't do it? Because we're probably not praying right. And we don't want everybody else to know we're not praying right, so we pray quietly. But the more you pray out loud, guess what happens? The more it changes and aligns with God's purpose and will, because you're being held accountable for what you say. This is a dangerous place. Believe me. Leaving your prayer life to just house it in your brain is where the enemy loves to throw all kinds of other things in there. You're not praying for correctly, or you're praying against other things, and you're distracted by other things, and you're going over here. Has anybody ever had that? We're like, I'm coming to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to sit and just spend time with God. And you're, close your eyes in your peace and quiet. And about 2 seconds after you start that, God, I just want to, something else has your eyes. Why do you do it? Stop doing silent prayer. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you how to pray. But please, take this as advice to help you be better. Stop silent prayer. Pray out loud. Pray out loud. Be emphatic even. Let God know you mean business. Because the more you mean business about his business, guess what he gets excited about? Your business. Am I wrong or am I right? It is exactly what it is. Right? This is why Jesus speaks of prayer in the secret place. Right? He's not talking about the quiet place. He's talking about a secret place. It's something personal and intimate and private. Why? Because prayer is about you and him, not you and everybody else. Right? But that intimacy he is developing is not so that you can just get what you want and you have this daddy-child mentality. It's that you're on the same team. It's actually like a husband-wife combo. But like, well, wait a minute, but we're his children. Yeah, I understand that. But you're also the bride. Am I wrong or am I right? You gotta get yourselves in the right frame of mind. It is part of your personal worship, right? We can also understand that prayer involves us because he has made provision for us, right? Does God hear you? Yes. But we're comparing two different things, right? If our position with God is assured and our motivation is his will, then our prayer is speaking the desires of God to life. It is a simple process. But if you're not, A, speaking them out loud, then are you speaking them into life? No, right? Because we just talked about faith. But the second part is if you're also not speaking it out loud, you're not really aligned with the will of God, you're probably not going to speak it out loud because it's a selfish ambition or selfish motivation. Our prayer speaks of desires clouded from a worldview, not a kingdom perspective. We tend to fixate all of our attention and our prayer towards things that are going to pass away. Look, I'm not saying don't pray for the president. Okay. That's fine. Pray for him. Okay. He needs a lot of prayer. I'm not saying don't. I'm not saying don't pray for the nations. I'm not saying don't pray for that either. But what I am saying is this is where we get it wrong. We start to pray and we go, I'm going to pray for the president. But then we start praying about what? We start praying about our personal opinions about the president. And we start praying about how, man, it'd be great if somebody who was better would get in his spot because of the policies and this and such and that and such and how it's destroying the nation. Did you see how this just went all the way downhill? Do you think God cares one iota about this land and country? In the sense of, when all said and done, he's going to do what with it all? Here's your actual home. Here's the mansions that I've been building for you while we've been away. I've prepared them for you. This is gone. It is a different perspective. There is more to this world than what is currently in front of your face. And you won't get past that point unless you start seeing things from a kingdom perspective. And the kingdom is eternal. It is now present, but it is also eternal. And we have to see things from God's lens. Amen? Another area we mess up with prayer is we deceive ourselves. We do this in a way that we try to make our desires seem as though they align with God's. And I guarantee you everybody's hand's probably going to go up with this one, right? Because we will do things where we will align God's will with something that makes sense. And we'll say, well, no, you know, God, I know it's your will for me to take care of my family. Right? Because I'm the head of the household. I need to be the responsible person. I need to take care of my family. Your word says that it's my responsibility to care for my children and my spouse. And I need to do those things and I need to do those things well. So I really need you to make sure that I get this job that I need. Because this job is going to give me the freedom for me to be home with my kids and take care of them and also be with my wife, but also give me the money that I need. Did you see how much of me is involved in that entire conversation with God? Not once did you ask God for what his will was. Yet you painted a wonderful picture of how all of that must be in God's will. Because it has to align with God's will because God wants me to be here. You know what I love? Is how God uses the dumbest things in the world to confound the wise. And in our own eyes, we think that that was a really wise plan. But God's going to turn around and go, here's the funny part. I'm actually going to lay you off. Huh? Yeah, you're going to be laid off. But watch me and watch what I do. Watch not one day your household go without food on the table. Watch one bill never not be paid on time. Watch as I give you the time that you need to spend with your kids and you get to pour good biblical things into them. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to constantly remind you of this every morning you wake up so you thank me for how much I am taking care of your family and showing you how you need to do the same. But it's not because of what you do, it's because of what I do in you. Because your kids will then follow in those footsteps. And they will be dependent on me, not on you, for their life and their support. Do you see how that is totally different? But who's dangerous enough to go and pray that will in their life? Yeah, I know. Only one hand's going to go up. But do you see how different that is? Look at the difference in that prayer. How much more powerful do you think that other prayer is in God moving through your household and changing the lives of not just you, but your family, your kids? And guess what that has? Generational impact. Because then those kids are going to go ahead and they're going to live that life upon everybody else they come in contact with. And that's going to have rippling effects. Which one sounds like it's more in line with God? The one that just stays in your personal house and doesn't go any further? Or the one that makes you the king and not him, or the one that makes him king and the ripples fly outward and affect and transform lives. Prayer is about God, his heart, his desire, and his will in our lives and over all creation. He will have his will. Amen? There's nothing we can do to stop that except for just go the opposite way. And in which case, God's still going to have his will. Romans 8:26, and here's some just support, right? Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is awesome. I rely on Holy Spirit to help me pray. Do you know why? Because I will come with wrong motivations all the time. But if I'm submitted to the Spirit of God, immediately upon entering into the Holy of Holies where I am going to commune and have conversation with God, the Spirit kind of does this. All right, I know you're ready for this, but stop it. Okay, you good? Good. All right, now get in there. Go. All right, that's it. And I'm going, what happened? It was like that. It was like the hype guy, except he just beat me up real quick and told me to get rid of whatever I was going in there with. Why? Because if I'd have gone in there with that motivation, what would have happened to me? Yep. I'd rather take a smack in the face from the Holy Spirit than to have, you know, God's light just eradicate me in there because I'm not right and I'm not holy. Okay? So, thankfully, that happens. Everybody can have that wonderful thought. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I love this scripture. Do you know why? This is such an awesome perspective-changing scripture. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that who's healed? You! Well, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that I can be healed. Well, that's pretty awesome. How do you receive healing, church? Stop thinking about yourself and start thinking about others. And God will manifest that healing on you. Because you're busy about God's work. You're not worried about your own issues. God's tissues are sufficient for your issues. Stop buying Kleenex. Okay. Next scripture, Steve. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to whose will? His will, he will hear us. This needs to be your prayer banner, church. This needs to be what you literally go to before you pray in any way, shape, or form. Why? Because if you want to be heard by God, it needs to be according to his will. That's not, oh, he won't hear me unless I'm, no. What you are going to pray needs to be in line with his will. This is really radically important, church. Because that prayer is indeed powerful. But if you are not going to pray his will, it's not going to matter. Maybe like, wait a minute. Are you saying, Pastor, that if it's not in his will, he's not going to hear me? I don't know. What's it say? You tell me. So all those times I've been praying, me, God's just sitting there going, get back to me when you're in line with my will. I'm already taking care of you. Stop worrying about it. Change your perspective. But I can tell you, he will hear you when it's aligned with his will. What does Jesus do? He gives us the model prayer. Everybody here knows it, right? Do I even need to read it? Right? I'm not going to read the Old Testament version of it. You're going to have it in your head anyway, because that's what you've been brainwashed with. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will be done. Clear as day. on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Remember I told you about stop worrying about what your day has because your day is made sufficient? There it is, right there in that prayer. And forgive us our debts. As we forgive those, right? If you're not going to forgive somebody, stop trying to get forgiveness because you're not going to get it until you give that to someone else. We have that repeated over and over again in scripture. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is very important. In that prayer, not only is in God's will sufficiency for all those other things, but is also his protection to continually keep you away from the guiles of the enemy. Prayer is a powerful weapon. If you are under an attack and the enemy is having a field day with you, the best thing you can do is pray. But what should you not be praying? God, I'm really getting beat up by the devil. I really hope that you will come over here and just kick his butt for me one more time so he'll leave me alone. Already taken care of. He's got that under control. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Again, acknowledging God in who he is and how awesome he is. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. God is expressly interested in hearing our voices. God is always listening for us to speak. But if we come with a wrong motivation, we come with a selfish motivation, we come. It's not where he's at. We have been called to a greater purpose. You have been called to do something great. You've been called to be impactful for the kingdom of God. Prayer is the way you are able to do multiple things all at the same time. Worship God. Tell him how awesome he is. Tell him how great and magnificent he is. Thank him for the forgiveness of sins. Thank him for his grace and his mercy. Right? Pour out blessings on others that need to feel the love of Jesus Christ. Thank him for being my shield and my rear guard and my strong tower and fighting my battles. Love that song, right? This is how I fight my battles. It isn't by picking up a sword and going into battle. No, I fight my battles by just thanking God for winning the battles already. I celebrate the victory that he has already given me. I thank him for the victory every day. I walk in that victory because I thank him for the victory every day. Do you thank him for the victory every day? We have to recognize the kingdom that we serve and the war that is waging. Many prayers are robbed because we fail to understand that war. Think of it this way. If you are praying, I'll even make this more real for you right now. How many people are praying for somebody that they know needs to hear the saving message of Jesus Christ and needs to come to the Lord? Okay. You know that person. You probably know that person needs God like sooner rather than later, right? Amen? Okay. How are you praying for that person? Because there's a war that is waging and that person's soul is in the crossfires. Are you praying that prayer with a carrier pigeon? Or are you marching a full battalion to make sure that message gets heard? How are you praying that prayer? Because too many people pray for this important thing that God obviously has in his will, because after all, he's made it abundantly clear in his word that the whole book is written as a love story to each and every one of us. But also, he repeatedly tells us how our responsibility in Christ is to do what? Go preach the gospel. bring those who are lost into the kingdom. Well, if that's our job and that's our goal, and prayer is part of that process, then by golly, I better make sure that prayer is protected. But we think that we just go and casually have a conversation with God, and I'm just going to talk to God about, you know, Billy and how he really needs to come to Jesus. And I really pray that, you know, Billy's going to find some people that are going to come across his way, and they're going to talk the gospel to him, and he's going to hear what they have to say, and he's going to come to Jesus, and that's going to be a great day, Lord. And we're going to rejoice because another one comes in the kingdom. I mean, that's not a bad prayer per se. But in reality, you just kind of floated that one out there, carrier pigeon style. In the middle of a battlefield where shots are being fired all over the place. What do I mean by getting that battalion together and marching that order? Guess what you're doing? You're putting some action behind it. You're not just going to let your prayers just go and take no ownership or responsibility for it. When you're praying in agreement with God and his plan and his purpose. But don't forget that you also have a role to play too. And your role is not just to pray. I love intercessory prayer. And I have seen some people who are really gifted in intercessory prayer. But if you've ever met a real intercessor, let me tell you something. Don't put them next to an unsaved person. Or do if you want to watch an entertaining moment. Because they will rip that person out of the pits of hell. They are that serious about God's will and impacting the lives of people on behalf of Christ. They are that intensely connected to God through that vein of prayer that they dynamically will move into that without missing a beat. They will pray for people, but they are active. It isn't just praying. And I think it's about time that we sharpen our swords and we start understanding that, yes, prayer is a powerful weapon, but we have to start using it right. Amen? We have to start using it right. We have to change our thoughts. We have to change our attitude. We have to line our will with his. We have to know his will. And we have to really start humbling ourselves and not focusing so much on how important am I and what my purpose is in this prayer. I should become not important in the entire conversation. The conversation be relegated to thanking God for how awesome he is. Thanking God for how great and wonderful he is. His blessings, his mercy, his grace. What he wants to do. How he wants to impact other people's lives, not mine. And I can tell you, church. Not only just from first-hand experience, but I'm sure you probably get some testimony out of here. Because there's probably some people that pray this way already. Ask them that when they have prayed this way, how God has tremendously poured out upon their lives. And done things that they didn't even seek him for. That they didn't even ask for. But God not only met that, but then gave even more on top of. Because we serve a good and mighty King. And I can vouch for him, but I'd rather you guys find out for yourselves. So, your homework. Pray today. But don't pray the way you've been praying. Take that definition and pray exactly that way. Try it. See if you don't like it. If you like it, you can buy it. For the price of just your time. Just your time. Costs you nothing. But I can promise that God is faithful. His word is faithful and true. And he will pour out abundantly in that. Amen? Amen.